Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
So very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. Another busy programme, and coming up on tonight's show later on in our club corner, we'll be looking at two junior league clubs here in the Northwest, from the Donegal League, Balbofey United, and from the Inishowen League, Redcastle United. Both sides unbeaten so far this season with 100% records. And Martin McHugh will be joining us shortly as well. We'll have his prediction and his thoughts ahead of the Donegal Senior Championship Final, which of course is taking place this weekend. And we'll also be getting the thoughts of sports editor Ryan Ferry on the county final. Ryan is our guest here in studio tonight. Ryan, a very good evening.
Good to be here, Oisín.
Yeah, good to have you in, Ryan. Listen, we've got the county final to look forward to. We'll be going to that very, very soon indeed when Martin joins us. But you're also a keen soccer man as well, so you are, Ryan. And you're a frequent visitor to Finn Park on a Friday night. And we're going to talk League of Ireland football now, and in particular Finn Harps, who head into their final game of the season against Bray Wanderers away at the Carlisle ground tomorrow night. And I suppose after last week's one of the best performances of the season, it's fair to say, against Athlone Town, they'll be looking to repeat that on Friday night against Bray.
Yeah, they definitely will, Oisín. It's been probably a challenging season, and you know, like, they're coming in here now and they're in ninth position in the league, and I don't think anybody would have wanted that, you know, at the start of the season, but that's where they are. And you know, it's about finishing the league as strongly as they can. You know, there's still some players in that squad that are contracted for another season, and you know, it's about them, those players, those maybe a couple of senior players in there, to make sure that, you know, the standards stay high towards the end of the season, and they finish with a bang, and finish with a bang for the supporters as well, because you know, it's been a tough season for Finn Harps supporters. They haven't really been able to get their teeth stuck into it, and you know, I'm sure there'll be a couple heading down to Bray, and you know, it would be nice to sign off with a victory.
Yeah. Why do you think Harps haven't performed to what the expectation was at the start of the season? That's right.
Yeah, probably a difficult question, Oisín. I suppose maybe the first question is, what was the expectation? You know, like, if we think back I remember interviewing Dave Rogers before the league started, and he was probably vague enough about what the targets were. They were starting at a low base, there's no doubt about it. You know, the total change, maybe bar Ryan Rainey, from the end of last season, and it was always going to be difficult to attract players. You know, there was so much travelling involved in that league, and you know, it was always going to be difficult to get a squad gathered up that were going to be able to compete. Now, at the start of the season, you know, the sound bites were right from Dave. You know, there was real energy about the team, the crowds were good, and you know, there was optimism, like, you know, and I suppose you always felt that Galway and Waterford were going to be too strong for everybody else in the league, but it was difficult to call where, you know, who would be next in the standings, like, you know. So I just haven't been able to get the consistency. They haven't been able to, you know, make defeats into draws and make draws into wins.
It's hard to continue on your winning ways when you're such a young squad, and it was defeat after defeat and a draw and then another defeat to get a run of wins together. And when you're young and inexperienced, it's a hard thing to put together. That
definitely is, Oisín. And I suppose, you know, we were used to seeing Ollie Horgan up there, and you know, for 10 years, or the bulk of 10 years, and you know, he wasn't looking for 18 and 19 year olds. He wanted, you know, men in their mid-20s, 30s, early 30s, you know, that had been around, that had a bit of experience, knew how to see out games. And you know, Dave Rogers took a different approach. He wanted to give young players a chance, and you know, some have done well, others struggled. And you know, he went and changed a good chunk of the team midway through the season, and initially it looked like it had created a real spark in the team. And you know, at one stage, they had a couple of wins under their belt, and you were thinking, you know, that playoffs was a realistic option. And I think it was just how quickly it tailed off then was so disappointing. Mm. And really, maybe 10 games ago, realistically, you knew they weren't going to make it. And, you know, that would be frustrating. Will there be lessons learned from it? Possibly, but, you know, you're looking into it next year. You know, you're still going to have awful lot of travelling to do again.
Before we look at next year, if there is positives from it this season for Harps, what do you think they are? Obviously, there has been two or three really good standout players.
Yeah, well, I think particularly Ryan Flood. Yeah. I think he has been excellent, you know, and I'm sure, I don't know what his contract situation or how easy or not easy it is to get in and out of those. I'd be surprised if other teams weren't looking for him, to be honest, because, you know, with a higher standard, because, you know, he's powerful frame, he's great left foot, he scores goals, he sets up goals. So, you know, he's been very effective. I think Tony McNamee has made a good impression since coming back in there. You know, Tony probably felt there was a wee bit of unfinished business at League of Ireland level, and, you know, I think he's definitely shown that he's of that level and is capable of playing up there. You know, they've looked at a lot of young players. Aaron McLaughlin has done really, really well in the games that he's featured in, and, you know, looks a real bright prospect. So, yeah, and I think the other thing is the crowds, Oshie. Now, I know some people will say to you that crowds are up all over League of Ireland, and that's great to see, and there's a bit of momentum behind that. And, you know, probably, you know, I don't know how it's been the last couple of weeks, but definitely for two-thirds of the season there, you know, the crowds were good and stood by the team, you know. So I think if you could get things going and galvanised again, I think there's a platform there for the people who will come out and support the Harps on a Friday night.
Yeah, well, all the questions at the minute is obviously in relation to the manager. Who's the manager going to be? Now, Darren Murphy, in fairness to him, is doing a good job since he took over at Antrim, because that was a brilliant one last week against Athlone, and he'll be looking to repeat that tomorrow night. But he hasn't ruled himself out, we understand, but he might throw his name into the ring for it. Who else do you think would be the contenders for the Harps job next year, Ryan?
Yeah, I suppose a difficult thing to say, Oisin, because I think then people had to have their applications in by, was it yesterday, the 18th?
Yeah.
And like, from memory, I think last year there was 30 or 40 different applications from all over the world coming in. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I suppose just to throw out a few names to you locally, you know, you have Joe Boyle and Declan Boyle, who done great work with the underage Finn Harps teams and know the local scene so well, and they would be very popular if they decided they could commit to it. Paul Higgerty, who, you know, was previously
been there before.
Yep. You know, he's got his pro license now, I believe, and, you know, he would bring real steel and would probably up the standards there, which, you know, maybe would be needed as well. Like Darren Murphy, as you said, he's come in for the last four games. He's won two, he's lost two. You know, it seems things have seemed to have gone okay. The some of the big defeats that we've seen at different stages of the season seem to have stopped, which isn't with no harm. I suppose you've Tommy Cannon, who was up in Derrickview, had a difficult start to the season with Derrickview. He joined the Finn Harps management team at the end of the season. Maybe you would see the project at Finn Harps is a more appealing one than up by Castle Derrick. And then you've Kevin McHugh's name will always be mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a legend of Finn Harps. He's head of the academy. I'm sure at some stage he will go to the dugout. Probably unlikely, you would say, it to be this time around, but you never know. And like, the thing about it is, Oisin, you know, nobody was talking about Dave Rogers this time last year. You know, as I said, you could have people coming in from all over the world. It'll be different.
Is there a lesson learned from that, what happened this year? But
well,
is there a lesson learned from the process and what they've done? And is the job as attractive now as what it was this time last year?
That's a good question. Is it as attractive? It probably is as attractive, you know, because if you look at it, really, there was a lot of negativity at the end of last season. People were saying, look at all the travelling you've got to do next year and everything. Like, people have seen it now. They've seen what it is. And, you know, they know there's challenges, and Harps haven't won too many on the road this year. But I suppose if you look at the playoffs, or if you look at the teams that are in there, obviously I mentioned Galway and Waterford. But Cove, Wexford, Athlone, Treaty trying to get in, like.
And they've money coming behind them now too. Treaty have, yeah.
But some of those other teams, they're not big hitters. You know, yeah. If you could get organised, get mobilised. You know, obviously there was a vision for things last year, and you know, Dave wanted to go with young players and a different approach. And you know, you can see why maybe people were sold on that vision. You know, but you know, you have to be realistic too about what can be achieved here. You know, the geographical location of Finn Harps makes it very, very difficult. It's hard to get, you know, sponsors involved and get the money in that you need. And you know, they've tried different things. There's been more training done. You know, there've been more players in full time roles. You know, it'll be interesting. From what I can gather, that model is still going to continue, if possible. So, yeah, I probably would say it is as appealing yeah. as last year. And hey, there'll always be people that'll be willing to take that step up. You know, that'll be hungry. You know, to maybe make the move and show what they can do at League of Ireland levels. Because when you're a League of Ireland manager, you know, it opens doors elsewhere, even if things don't work out.
And if Darragh Murphy gets a win tomorrow night down in Breda, wrap up the season, he's very much a contender.
Well, he'd be very much a contender anyway. You would think, like, you know, he's had, you know, a CV there of, you know, probably mainly assistant manager jobs, but like that, probably ready to go for it and step up. But you know, you would imagine it'll be a very thorough search and, you know, selection process, as these things tend to be.
Yeah. Okay. Listen, Ryan, we're going to go for a quick commercial break. Before we do that, just to remind our listeners, Bray Wanderers against Finn Harps tomorrow night, the final game of the First Division season for Finn Harps on the road at the Carlisle Grounds. Dan Gorman will be in attendance for Highland Radio Sport, and we will have updates as from the 7:45 kickoff. Okay, we're going for a quick commercial break here on the Score programme. When we return, we'll be talking Gaelic football. Ryan sticking with us, and we'll also be joined by Martin McHugh.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the Score programme. By the way, on our website in the playback section, you can recap last Monday's DEL debate. It was on this Monday, actually, Monday past there, where Brendan Devaney had a county final special which came live from Highland Motors. His guests were Stephen Cassidy and John Gilday from the Gidor and Eve Connell clubs. We also heard from the chairman from both sides, and indeed Brendan Kilcoyne and Gary McDade with the neutral view. So that's the DL Debate county final special. It's available now in the playback of a playback section of our website, highlandradio.com. And we're going to actually stick with Gaelic games and look ahead to that big final, which is coming up this Sunday. There will, of course, be full live match commentary here on Highland. We'll have the build-up from just before 3:30 and the full match live from 4. And on the Highland team this weekend, Martin McHugh, Brendan Kilcoyne and Brendan Devaney will be on live reaction as well. And Martin joins us now on the programme. Martin, a very good evening.
Evening, Oisin.
And Ryan staying with us as well to talk, looking forward to this big final. So, Martin, you know what it's like as a manager. You know what it's like as a player to be preparing for a county final. Is there much pressure just a number of days out now before the battle starts for a Dr. Maguire Cup?
I suppose, considering the two teams is in it, they're very experienced. They've been there before, so you expect it's just another game for them from their point of view. But if you've a young team in a final, definitely it's different. Your build-up has to be different. You're trying to relax them. And there's just different things when you go into a final. A final takes on a kind of world of his own in a way. You know, we don't know what's going to happen in finals. You know, we look at it from the point of view of picking up injuries, red cards and everything else. We've seen that last year in the final as well. Anything can change a final. And I think that, you know, players have to be ready for everything. And I suppose the other thing, any team that has a very, very good semi-final and a big one in a semi-final, is always hard to sometimes take them back down to earth. But if you consider, I suppose, the Niamh Connell team, they're very experienced in that and well used to that. It'd be, you know, to be more of a worry that situation if you had a younger team. And I'm really looking forward to this final, Oisin. I think they're definitely the two best teams this year in the county, and a lot of experience on both sides. And I know a lot of people are completely maybe writing Gidor off. I wouldn't completely write them off. I think I'd give them a good fighting chance in the final.
Would you write Gidor off, Ryan?
No, I wouldn't write them off either now, to be honest. But, you know, they're clearly underdogs and very happy to accept that tag, Oisin. You know, even going back to the the press night last week, you know, very quick to hype up Niamh Connell at every opportunity, you know, and there's always a bit more crack when Guido are going well, Oisín. You know, there's, you know, they bring a wee bit of swagger and character to it, you know. And they, like, I think they'll fancy their chances coming into this game. You know, they'll, you know, they know they've good players. You know, a lot of them have, even the new players, a lot of them have played county underage. A lot of them have, were part of that under 21 successful team at the start of the season. So, you know, they'll be looking at this as a good chance.
Do they have the players to upset the way Niamh Connell play their system and play as a unit?
Well, they've a lot of players, Oisín. That's the one thing I would say when you go through it. You know, like, I think an interesting one is whether Gavin McBride starts this week. You know, because Gavin started the semi-final and went off injured.
Is he fit, does he?
You know, he's a big, powerful man in the forward line. If you have him, Eamon McGee, and Ethan Harkin, you know, if they're all playing, does that affect Niamh Connell's matchups and things, you know? Who's going to pick up Oran McNeillis, Darrell Boyle? You know, if those players can make an impression on it, you know. Now, the big thing Guido have had this year is they've been scoring goals, but scoring goals against Niamh Connell is a lot more difficult.
Yeah. Martin, obviously Kilcare lost out at the quarter-final stage to Niamh Connell, but they scored two goals and 7 points against you on that occasion. You, of course, were involved with games against them previously as well. Why do you think they're so good, Martin? Like, this is a seventh final in a row, which is a phenomenal achievement, and they're going for a fifth in that period as well. What makes these guys so good?
It's the longevity of the older players. You have to give them a lot of credit. The easiest thing sometimes is retiring them, I guess, but they're staying there and they're still at it, and they're, you know, even getting better. We see a better Liam McLoon this year than we saw maybe last year, and just the way they're able to get themselves to, you know, the level they have and the play with the system, and they're very much together bunch of players. You can see the whole system they do, and they'll not move away from that. That's the system they have. And I mean, if we analyse the semi-final, and we're talking about the two teams, like, Eudora scored, 116 in their semi-final, where Niamh Connell got 11 points. And Niamh Connell had only one wide in that game. We were doing that game, Oisín. They had only one wide in the whole match. Like, many teams do just have one wide in the whole match. And the other thing is, you know, we look at Eunice at 10 wides. So when you look at it like that there, you say to yourself, well, if Eunice even, you know, to get them two fisted points, that, you know, easy things like that there, you know, it could have been a different game. So that's why you have to think that you have to give Guidor a chance here. If you go in the two semi-finals, I know everybody's saying, you know, there's one big semi-final, was the Unions Niamh Connell game and everything else. But I just think, if, you know, people analysing or looking at it, you have to say that from that point of view, and know the players that Ryan was mentioning there, I think the big one is, you know, from both sides, is Kieran Thompson's a massive player for Niamh Connell, and having a big, big game in the middle of the field. And teams have tried to tag him and mark him in that area, and they're finding it very difficult. And I think Oran McNeill is the other player. So who picks up either of them players is going to be a big battle in the game. You know, especially if we look at it from Guido's point of view. Donal McGillibrige is having a good year this year, and he looks like, you know, a county player in the future, definitely. And will he be the man to pick up Kieran Thompson? I think, you know, we have to. He's such a player for Niamh Connell, Kieran Thompson. We look at him every day, and then you analyse, and I was just looking at scoring the semi-final, got 11 points. He gets 3 of the 11 points. They kick the long-range points, which they're very good at. Anthony Thompson comes up, shows leader, with 2 great points. The players that you'd maybe sometimes, you know, different players get the score for them, as you were saying the last day. Going into the game the last day, was it John O'Malley was the highest scorer with 110. Other teams have one or two big scorers. They don't really have that. And that's why the scores could come from different places and everything else with them. And, you know, they just seem to know what to do, when to give the kick out, you know, when to attack the kick out and everything else. And that's great coaching, great credit, great stats people behind the scene and everything else. And, you know, they have to go down as being the greatest club team that we've ever seen in this county. And, you know, I'll say they've no mind of going away anywhere yet. But I'm really looking forward to it, as I said early on. You know, Guidor with the two McGees, very experienced players, you know. You've Ethan Harkin to get the scores. You know, even Neil McGee got up the last day and scored a point, and Eamon can control the game at a certain age. Now, it's going to be difficult in there because there'll be a lot of bodies in there. They have a lot of players from the under 21 squad as well coming through. So, you know, Guido love to be underdogs going into matches. They love to be written off and everything else. And as Ryan said, a bit of a swagger with them. So hopefully we have a good game, which will be very important from the county point of view, Oisín.
Yeah, but don't rule out a replay. Just to let the listeners know, there was, of course, the trilogy situation in 2019. If it's level at the end of the game on Sunday, there will be a replay. And the following week, if it's level after the 60 minutes, there'll be extra time and penalties if required. That is the format that the final will take on. So if it is level, there will be a replay. We had that trilogy, Ryan. How do you think that's sitting at the minute with Gweedore? Because Gweedore actually haven't beaten Eve Connell in the championship since they won the Ulster in 2018. Since then, 19 and last year, I think the year before as well, they lost on those occasions to Gweedore. So can they dig into what happened in 19 in that final hurt now that they're back in a final again for the first time?
Possibly, Oisín, but I think this is a new Gweedore team, to be fair. Like, you know, there's not many changes, and I put this to Martin Regan at the press night. You know, Owen McGettigan and Kieran Gallagher are the only ones out from that starting team. Gweedore have lost a lot of years. You know, Oran McFadden Ferry, Cian Mulligan, Eamon Collum, Nisho Buil, you know, very, very important players. But they've new lads in there, and, you know, it's Ronan McNeilis's first year, and he's put his own stamp on things. Like I remember going down to the first Gaeltacht game this season against Kilcare and being shocked at how there was only one under 21 player in the starting team that day. And
it's because they're on the reserves.
they really had to earn their stripes with Ronan McNeilis and Francie Freed this year. Like, there was nobody going to be just handed a jersey, you know. And so they've come in and they've worked hard. Like, you know, a lot has changed in those 4 years. A lot happened in those 2 weeks. You know, like, I was just going through it. You know, it wasn't the most riveting football of all time, but it was
a crazy period.
It
of
was
football.
It was compelling stuff, and yeah, you couldn't rule out a replay. Like, if you would imagine for Gweedore, they're going to want to have it tight. They're going to want to try and make sure it comes down the home straight. And, you know, we don't know about the likes of Micheál Carroll, where he's at. You know, have Gweedore got a couple of men to come on in the last 15, 20 minutes? They won't want to be chasing the match either, because, you know, Niamh Connell, if you're 2 points behind Niamh Connell, you may as well be 5 points behind them. It's just so hard to claw it back.
Yeah, and it's a big day for Gweedore because they've got two teams in the finals. The reserves, who are littered with the under-21s that won that title, are taking on a Rua Ballyshannon. So it's a massive day for the green and white. Okay, Ryan, then, just call it. How's it going to go in your mind? What are you thinking?
I think Niamh Connell will win in a fairly low-scoring affair.
Right, okay. Are you going to give us a prediction on the score?
I'll go 11 points to 8.
11-8, okay. Martin McHugh, are you any... What's your prediction? You're laughing in the background there, so you are.
We had no goal in the semi-final between Niamh Connell and St. Jude's. Just looking at it now either. But I think the thing I'd say is that from a Gweedore point of view, they need to get ahead and press on when they are ahead. You know, that's what they need to do. I think the mistake, we'll say, that St. Jude's made the game down in Glenties was they didn't press on after half-time. They nearly went back into themselves and, you know, held on to what they had and allowed Niamh Connell to come on them. I think Gweedore need to try to get ahead from their point of view and press on and make Niamh Connell open up and come at them and try to get them away from the way they play and do that. But you need to get further ahead, because as Ryan said, if Niamh Connell a couple of points ahead, it's the same, they'll run it down. People used to say that about Donegal way back. If they got a couple of points ahead, it was very good. We look at this Niamh Connell team, the experience they have and everything else, and, you know, suppose kickouts and everything else would be very important in the game. Players coming off the bench, and the player like Micheál Carroll that Ryan's mentioned, I saw him at 19 and I was very excited about him as a player. I'd love to see him getting back to that level he was at that time, because he's got a lot of quality about him. But you just have to think that, you know, that it'll probably end up going down to the wire and Niamh Connell will get over the line. But as I said, I'm not going to say, I just think that if Gweedore can get a good start and get right into it, you know, and I always go back to the stat that in the game against St. Junan's had 10 wides and they didn't play, everybody's saying how poor St. Junan's were in that match, and they had 10 wides to Niamh Connell's one. So I think that gives Gweedore a good shout. But I'll just say, as usual, we'll all go for Niamh Connell, because she's hard, very hard to bet against Niamh Connell.
Yeah, okay. Listen, Martin, thanks for joining us this evening.
No problem, Martin. Oh, good to talk to you.
Good
take
to
care.
Talk to you. We'll chat to you on Sunday. Martin McHugh, of course, will be on at CoCom for that Niamh Connell Gidor match. Starts at 4 o'clock. We'll have the build up. Brendan Kilcoyne's going to join us as well, and Brendan Devaney, as from around 3:30. Ryan's just going to stay in the seat for a couple of minutes, because there's a few other big games coming up this weekend. As we said, the reserve match, Gwydor against Éireann Ballyshannon, that one's going to start at 1:45. Robert Emmett's play Convoy in the replay of the Junior B Championship on Saturday at 4 o'clock. And the C final is also on, Pettigo up against McCool's. And in Derry, it's O'Donovan Rossa against Lavey in the minor football final on Saturday at Owenbeg at 4. And Moneymore are taking on Ballymacguigan in the junior Derry Championship final at 6 o'clock in Owenbeg. The Termin Ladies are on the road in the Ulster Senior Championship quarterfinals at Ballygolly, taking on Errigal, Kieran and Tyrone. 2 o'clock is the start time. And listen, Ryan, once you go to Ulster, anything can happen. Termin will be disappointed with how it went against Lurgan last year when they were champions, but they have that game now under their belt, and you never know. In ladies football, Termin could get a bit of an Ulster run going, so they could.
Yeah, they would definitely be hoping to do so, Washington. I think, you know, like looking at it, Errigal Kieran had a sensational victory in the Tyrone final against McCartans, probably underdogs for that. And you know, I'm sure there were big celebrations probably about Ballygolly and things like that. And you know, are they going to be carrying momentum into this game as well? But as you said, like that defeat to Lurgan last year was a big surprise. And I think some of the Termin ladies, you know they're under new management this year, but you know that'll have hurt them. And you know, up into the Lions' Den and up in Dunmoyle this week, and they'll be ready to give it a rattle.
Yeah. They've got a good mix now of the experienced and young ladies there in Termin, because there's a young crop coming up through. Obviously, the likes of Kieran McGarvey and Jodie McFadden.
Yeah, and
Shannon McLaughlin's another one.
The wing back, who's very highly rated, is Niamh Bonner.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of good young players coming through. And I think I was at an under 14 final last year. Oisín Moore on the way as well, by the looks of things. But yeah, like obviously Geraldine McLaughlin isn't playing this year in the championship, and that's a huge loss. And you know, it would knock the stuffing out of most teams. But in fairness to Termin, you know, Ciara McGarvey and Jodie McFadden have really stepped up to the mark. And you know, they mightn't be the household names at intercounty level yet, but you know, probably over the next couple of years, if they want to be there, they'll be wearing the green and gold jersey, because they're sharpshooters in attack. The other interesting one with the Termin ladies this year is that they're playing Roisin McCafferty in nets, predominantly in the first half, and then taking her out the field in the second half and usually playing her in the forward line. And I think it's Orla Corey who maybe comes in and goes. Now, Orla Corey is a very good goalkeeper in her own right. And I'm just wondering, Oisín, when it comes to the crunch games in Ulster, will there be a temptation to play Roisin out the field all the time? You know, because she's very experienced player, good on the ball, you know, able to win kickouts, able to score goals. And as I said, Orla Corey is a good goalkeeper. You know, it'll be interesting to see if there's a change of tack, because, you know, with no disrespect intended to some of the other teams in the Donegal Club Championship, you know, Termin knew they were going to get past some of those teams quite comfortably, bar Glenfin. Obviously, Glenfin's always going to be a different animal for them. But when it comes to Ulster, you know, it's everything on the line. I'm just wondering, will there be a bit of a change attack from the Termin management?
Interesting to see. That one starts 2 o'clock Sunday in Ballygolly. Right, one final thing, Ryan. The draw for the Ulster Championship is on Saturday. It's written in the stars. Derry Donegal in the preliminary round.
Oh, possibly. You know, I'm trying to think. What would be the dullest draw for us?
Well, we can be in the preliminary round. We're in the and there's what, four teams there, five teams actually. Ourselves, Derry, Cavan, Down, and Monaghan can be involved in the preliminary round.
Yeah, and you wouldn't really fancy playing any of them. I think like looking at it, and it's the same said every year, Oisín. You know, you want to avoid the preliminary round and you want to get a home quarter final. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of the years, maybe that's a lot to ask for. And you know, we've had some great luck in the draw and getting home ties and stuff. And like last year we went to Newry, and, you know, people would have been thinking it's a good draw. and when it all came to it, it wasn't a good draw.
It was a long run home. So it was.
And so, you know, you're looking at it, like, first of all, the draw has been done far too early. Like, there's no doubt about it. You know, and I know it's to get master fixture schedules done, but it is being done far too early. But of all years, there's just going to be, there's so much interest in the Ulster Championship. You know, Mickey Hart going to Derry, Jim McGuinness obviously back in with Donegal. There's changes to Down, Kieran Meena's away to Down, Conleth Gilligan's in with Armagh, Raymond Gallagher's come in to Cavan with a star-studded backroom team. And, you know, the Tyrone boys are as quiet as you'll ever have heard them. Like, you know, there's so little being said there, but, you know, they'll be stewing over the winter. So, Monaghan as well. Like, Monaghan had a great year last year. So, like, hope from a Donegal perspective, you know, is the Ulster Championship the same thing as it was, you know, with the new knockout or the new round robin thing coming in? I would be surprised if Jim McGuinness is not thinking, let's give Ulster a real rattle. Let's get momentum behind the team. Let's get the Anglo-Celt back to the hills. So I think, you know, if we avoid the preliminary round and get that home quarter final, I think the majority of people in the county, you'll never keep everybody happy, but I think most people would be happy with that.
Okay. Ryan, many thanks for coming on tonight. We enjoyed your company. Thank you.
Thank you, Oisin.
Ryan Ferry, sports editor of the Donegal News, joining us tonight in studio here in the Score programme. Okay, we're going to go for another quick break. When we come back, we'll go back to soccer and looking at the junior scene here in Donegal.
Be prepared for training and match day with kit and other essentials from all the top names at Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, sponsors of Sport on Highland. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
And you're welcome back to the programme as we return to soccer. We did, of course, speak senior soccer about Fun Harps earlier in the show. Now we turn our focus to the junior action here in the Northwest. And the weekend's games actually start tonight here in the Donegal Junior League as the Temple Domestic Appliances Division 1 clash. Bunnaggy United taking on Convoy Arsenal. That one is just about to kick off at the Dry Arch Park out there in Bunnaggy. Well, Ballybuffet United have made a superb start to the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2 and have a 100% record after seven games. Chris Ashmore has been speaking with first team manager P.H. Boner about some of the reasons behind their positive start, the ongoing development of facilities at Drenan, and the underage structures.
P.H. Boner, manager of the Ballybuffet senior team. You've made a great start to the season, the Donegal Physiotherapy Division 2. Seven played, you've won them all, 100% record, 6 points clear of Lifford and Dromahol. So could hardly be a much better start than that.
Listen, Chris, started off really well for us now. The lads have put in a lot of work. In fairness, the players have been brilliant since we got together, and we probably got together a bit early because we were expecting the league to start mid-August like it usually does with the Brian McCormick Cup. But with it being pushed back to September, we probably had 8 or 9 weeks of pre-season under our belts before we got up and running, you know. And actually the lads before that done 6 weeks of core fitness themselves, up to 30 of them between the two squads.
It's not an easy division to get out of, and you've a lot of local derbies, Lifford, Curragh, Deal, Raphoe. You'll know your opposition well.
The lads were saying that at the start of the season, it is with derbies all over the place, you know, and we're terrible in derbies was one of the phrases that they used. So we've struggled with them in recent years, but it's not a bad thing. No team wants to be travelling all over the place every week. Brings a wee bit of bite to every game as well, you know, and we've done all right so far. We're probably on the right side of it, so we're happy enough with how we've started. We're probably in a good place from, you know, we don't have a lot of GA players in our squad this year. We're probably only really two to three players that play that are dual players. So that has stood to us. We're under no illusions that has stood to us at the start of the year. Like, we realise other teams could be missing 5, 6, 7 players, and that's probably part of the reason we've started so strongly. And as I say, we're under no illusions that the second half of the season is going to be a lot tougher, because those teams are going to improve massively by the time we meet them again. So it's good to hit the ground running, but we're under no illusions that it's going to be, it's a long way to go yet, you know.
So, PH, tell us about the squad this year. Have you made many changes?
Yeah, well, we have. We've lost, I suppose, at the beginning of the season, we lost a lot of experience. You know, Sean Wozzy McGowan has gone player-manager up in Castledare, and Stuart Carlin's gone back to Lifford. They were very, very, Stuart was player of the year last year for the senior team, you know. So we lost them. There's a lot of experience to lose, but one of the reasons I was given the job was to, you know, I've been on to a team manager the last two seasons, and the committee wanted some younger players brought into the squad, and I suppose I had the most knowledge of that age group. So we have a fine mix of lads just coming out under 18, and we have a few lads around 20, a couple of 26, and then unfortunately we go to the close to the 35 and over bracket after that. So there's a big gap. We're probably lacking a few players in that mid-20s area, but that'll happen over time. But they're bonding really well. You know, the young lads are bonding, have respect for the older lads, and the older lads know that these young lads have to come through because for the future of the club.
Now, you have a reserve team in the Saturday League, and yourself and Gavin Doherty, a managerial partnership that goes back some time.
Last year, Gavin had the reserve team, the Saturday team, and he was a manager, and I was assistant manager along with him. And we have flipped the roles this year, where I'm managing and Gavin's assistant manager. But the plus of having Gavin alongside you, Gavin can still pull on the boots, and he has actually played six of the first seven games.
Now, you've made great strides off the field over the last number of years. Good facilities, a lot of investment in the club, and your underage structure, something in the region of 250 youngsters, so that augurs well for the future.
Absolutely. Off the pitch, things are going really well. We have a lot of new members on the committee this year, you know, and it's a young, energetic committee now that want to improve things. Because you say, with 250 underage players, you've got to provide facilities for them. You've got to provide coaches for them. There's an awful lot of work that goes into that. We have a full-size pitch up there. It's a great playing surface we have. We have started a second full-size pitch. The club have recently purchased another piece of land just below the second pitch that we're started, and we're planning permission for AstroTurf for a training area. It's a lot of work to get the grants through, and we have a 50-50 draw there that runs every week, and it's doing extremely well. They're out every week outside McElhinney's. They're around lifting tickets and selling tickets around the pubs on a Sunday evening. And you know, it doesn't just happen without a lot of hard work. There was a meeting 7 or 8 years ago to fold the club, and to go from that to where we are now, of our having our own facilities, our own changing rooms, meeting room upstairs, you know, a second pitch started and a training area planning permission in for an Astro for a training area. You know, we really are, hopefully we're moving in the right direction. And we, as I say, hopefully we have enough people on board now to keep us moving in the right direction.
That's P.H. Bonner, manager of Ballybuffet United, who this weekend have a big local derby away to Deal Harps in Division 2. That is on Sunday. The leaders in Division 1 on Sunday are Letterkenny Rovers. They're also unbeaten with a 100% record. They go to Cranford United. Rovers sit joint top of the table along with Donegal Town, who are not playing in Division 1 this weekend. While the top sides are also in action in the Premier Division, the leaders, Fannin United, go to Swilly Rovers. Second place Kildrum Tigers up against Kilmacrenan Celtic, and St Catharines are playing Milford United. Games in the Ulster Junior Shield, Arnmore United are taking on Redcastle. That's on Saturday. Also playing Saturday, Glenay United against Cockhill Celtic and Old Town Celtic against Buncrana Hearts. While on Sunday in the Shield, it's Carr Athletic against Remelton Mariners. Laggan Harps play Glenady Colts. Sea Rovers take on Cager Rovers, and Dunry United are up against Rosheenie. And there's also a programme of matches as well to take place in the Inishowen League, with games across all three divisions. Buncrana Hearts in the Premier Division have an opportunity to go top of the table with Cockhill. They take on Glengad United on a Sunday. And we're staying with Inishowen Soccer. And the early pace setters in that first division are Redcastle United. They are unbeaten in the league so far and are 4 points clear at the top. They are the holders of the Ulster Junior Shield, and this weekend they travel to Arnmore United to defend that title on Saturday. Well, Chris Ashmore has been speaking with their manager, Cathal Faulkner, about their hopes for the season.
You've made a great start to the season. 7 straight wins in the Strand Hotel First Division. When you started things off at the beginning of the campaign, was the message to the lads, we're going to go out and give it a really good shot this year?
Yeah, I suppose it was. Yeah, the last couple of years we felt we maybe underachieved, although we won the Fáil Ó Gaire 2 years ago, which is fairly prestigious in Inishowen. And last year we won the Ulster Junior Shield. And we felt just last season we drew a lot of games that we should have maybe won. And this year when we got off to a good start, we kind of kept it going. We're probably defending a bit better, taking chances a bit better, and Yeah, if we can stay up there, that's what we plan to do.
And getting that sort of early season momentum can be so important, as you touched on there. You know, if you drop points early on and you're playing catch up on other teams, sometimes you just never make up that deficit.
Definitely. It's tough to keep winning. I've told the boys, like, every week we won, there's a bigger target in our back, and we're going to be a bigger fish for people to try and catch. But you want to be at the top of the league. You want to be the team that's winning. There's a long way to go, and I'm sure there'll be a twist or turn here and there before it's over yet, you know.
Now, you mentioned the Ulster Junior Shield. Great year for you last year. You're in action this weekend, a trip that involves a ferry. You're Aaron Moore United away. Do you know much about them?
To tell you the truth, I don't know an awful lot about them. I know I'd look at some of their recent results there, and they played Grand Rovers there recently, who we met in the Ulster Shield final last year, and Aaron Moore beat them. So we know it's not going to be handy. Probably a big part of our success last year was the fact that we got a lot of home draws and we didn't have to leave on a show. On the other side of it, Strand, in last year's run to their final, I think they were up on a show three times, the lads were telling us. But we'll go out and we'll try and continue on what we've been doing so far this year and enjoy our day in Aaron Moore. You know, they look like they've got a good setup, and looking forward to seeing it.
Now, your own club, it's a pretty small catchment area. There's a lot of clubs not too far away, so tell us about the current squad. Is it, you know, is it much the same as last year? Have you brought in a few this year?
Of, say, the sort of 18 lads that are in the first team, I think 15 of them would have came through or underage. As you say, we're here between Muff and Mavall, so we've got Quiggy's Point on one side of us and Mavall on the other. But the most of the lads would have played for us underage. The squad from last year, we've basically added Eamon Donnelly, who would have played with myself a good number of years ago. It's just added, it's the experience. And then on top of that there, we've taken a lad or two up from the reserves. And they're just all good quality players. You know, I think a number of the older heads in the team have realised they're the right age now to be taking responsibility and maybe pushing on. And with the success in cups the last couple of years, it's, you know, maybe it's focused a wee bit, going, well, we can do something. I always felt they had the potential as a squad to win a few things, and I think it's a realisation that's happening with the lads now, and there's maybe a bit more focus, you know. So
you can aim high after the good start. Things are pretty much going according to plan.
When you're winning, they're all going to plan. You know, but I say that can all change in a weekend or two. It's a really competitive league. Last year we had a 9-team league, and this year we've got 11 teams in our league. It's more games to win or more games to lose, depending on your perspective. The first division on its own it's renowned to being a hard league to get out of. It's going to be a battle all the way to the end. I'm not going to be counting the chickens anytime soon. You know, I'd rather be sitting a few points clear with two games to go than right now, you know. But we'll see if that comes. Hopefully the boys can keep up the momentum, keep winning. I say they're playing well, they're defending well, and they're taking chances. Maybe a few things we weren't doing last year have improved, and we'll be hopefully there and thereabouts towards the end of the season.
Cathal Faulkner hoping Great Cass United continue on their winning ways this weekend in that Ulster Junior Shield as they take on Aaron Moore United. On the boxing front, the National Senior Championship semi-finals are on this weekend. Danny Duffy at 54kg from Raphoe. Cathal Gormley at 67kg representing Ellie's Golden Gloves. Cathal McLaughlin will fight at 75kg representing Raphoe. And Banny Shannon man, Danny Byrne at super heavyweight, 92+, is also in action in the semi-finals this coming weekend, where of course ones will put them through to the final the following weekend at the National Stadium. Four fighters involved in semi-finals. And finally, just in rugby, it's a big weekend for Letterkenny Rugby Club because they are celebrating their 50th anniversary this weekend. It's all going to start on Saturday, October 21st at 9 a.m. with Mini Rugby. There's underage games then right through until 1 o'clock, where the Letterkenny Thirds at 1 will play Donegal Town. Letterkenny Seconds will take on UUC at 2:30, And also at 2:30, the Letterkenny Firsts are due to play Lurgan, and that is the Ulster Championship 2 encounter. It's a big day for the club. The Six Nations trophies will also be in attendance down at the Dave Gallagher grounds this coming Saturday afternoon. And Highland Radio's Alec McDonald will be there as well to observe what is happening and speak to a number of the Letterkenny Rugby Club members as they celebrate their 50th anniversary, and we wish them the very best of luck with the day on Saturday. And that is it from the Score programme for tonight. My thanks to my guest Ryan Ferrier of the Donegal News, and indeed Martin McHugh. If you missed any of the show, you'll be able to recap on the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Until the next time, for me, Oisin Kelly, have a very good evening.